In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. My dear friends of Jesus, Mary, and Saint Joseph, you have brought to my attention that now there are people following David Baudin as if he was the true Pope. And when questioned about it, they make some reply to the effect, "Well, look in the book that Teresa Stanfield Benz and David Baudin wrote, which they titled, Will the Catholic Church Survive the 20th Century? Just what do Teresa Benz and David Baudin teach in this book? When we look at the front cover and the title of the book, Will the Catholic Church Survive the 20th Century? Catholics immediately are put on the alert, saying, as an answer, yes, because the church will last until the end of time. That is a matter of faith. Why then such a title for the book? Are Benz and Baudin prophets that they want us to believe the world will end before the 20th century? If the world ends, so will the Catholic Church. Question. To those who follow David Baudin and Teresa Benz and accept David Baudin as the Pope, do you believe it is blasphemy and heretical to teach it's possible for the Catholic Church not to survive until the end of time? If you answer no, please explain why. You open the book and soon you come to Roman numeral page 4. Where is your imprimatur? Book which address matters of faith and morals are required by canon law to display an imprimatur and nihil obstat. At the present time, however, we do not believe that a bishop whom we may approach for such approval exists, either in our own diocese of residence or the place of publication. So here is the first indication that we have that Benz and Baudin are inferring that no bishops exist who have office authority and jurisdiction that could give an imprimatur to a book. On page 14, we read, quote, when a scholastic sets down a thesis, he is expected to offer evidence to show that it should be accepted as the correct explanation of our Lord's message. Other theologians must examine and evaluate the evidence which has been brought forward. If the proof is valid, the thesis stands. Should the evidence not be forthcoming, then the proposition has no legitimate place in the field of sacred theology. Question. Did Benz and Baudin offer evidence from sacred scripture, the fathers of the church, the doctors of the church, to prove there are no bishops with office, authority, and jurisdiction who could elect a pope? If you answer no, please explain why. On page 13, Benz and Baudin wrote, if we wish to truly teach the faith, we must first learn the faith. This can only be done by consulting the sources of our faith, such as Mayer states, our Holy Scripture, the Fathers, the Doctors, and the Councils, Canons, and Constitutions of the Church. Much of the writing that most needs to be done requires the proofs of faith provided in these sources. Canon law itself cites these same sources under the laws governing proofs. Question. Because Benz and Baudin have written many things that of a controversial nature, do you agree they should supply proofs from the sources they said provide the proofs for everything under question? If you answer no, please explain why. On page 14, Benz and Baudin wrote, thus it can be seen that those who cannot back up their proofs who present spurious proofs or proofs of a less authoritative nature must not be given any credence. For example, a belief to be held with divine faith cannot be toppled by theological opinion. Neither can laws or teachings of the church ever be seen to contradict each other. Question: do you agree on the testimony of Benz and Baden that they must give authoritative proof, or else what they've written should not be given any credence? If you answer no, please explain why. Remember what they wrote: neither can the laws or teachings of the church ever be seen to contradict each other. However, Benz and Baden wrote many things in this book that are contrary to what they wrote elsewhere in the same book. Did you read page 136 under the title, Where Was the Church in 1970? We can say without fear of contradiction that there was no pope, no cardinals, no bishops, no pastors, and no confessors by 1970. So there is a false teaching of Benz and Baden, but nevertheless they proclaim on page 136 there are no bishops, cardinals, pastors, or confessors, or a pope in 1970. Flip over to page 138 and you read, since the Vatican Council, often called Vatican I by those who accept Vatican II as a valid council, infallibly defined that the church will last as Christ constituted her to the end, we know there must be members of the hierarchy, true bishops, somewhere in the world. Question: do you believe this last statement is true? If you answer no, please explain why. Question: do you believe this statement of the infallible church, as defined at the Vatican Council, is the exact opposite of what Benz and Baden just taught us on page 136? If you answer no, please explain why. Related to this topic of whether there are bishops, true Catholic bishops living or not living, again is brought forth on page 318. Papal election is ordinarily a jurisdictional act, but because there are none more qualified to perform this act, and for this reason only, we are allowed to proceed. So right here on page 318, Benz and Baden teach us that they are only allowed to proceed with the papal election if there are no Catholic bishops on earth. It's in their book, for this reason only, are we allowed to proceed? Question: why cannot the true clerics, the true Catholic bishops, who are and must be living, we know that as a matter of Catholic faith, must be living in the world until the end of time, elect the Pope? Benz and Baden directly teach that papal election is a jurisdictional act, and therefore those who have jurisdiction in the true church are the ones whom God wills to elect a pope if he wills another pope to be elected. That's the true teaching, and is here explained by Benz and Baden. Now, do they believe that true bishops do exist? We already found in one place they quote the Vatican Council as a matter of faith that true bishops must live until the end of time to carry on the hierarchical structure of the church. On page 332, Benz and Baden again contradict, state the exact opposite of what they wrote on page 136. Quote, we may not see bishops, yet they exist. We may not have access to a true priest, yet somewhere, perhaps in some filthy prison camp or the depths of a forest primeval, priests holy and pleasing to God offer the true holy sacrifice whenever and however they can. True Catholics, one in faith and belief, must live out their lives throughout the world in silence and often unknown to each other. We must believe it if we are to remain Catholic, a bishop or bishops will come forth, as well as faithful priests and laypeople. On page 356, Benzin Baden wrote, "Since the Church will last to the end, as Christ constituted it, we shall affirm there exist bishops, canonically appointed, who, for their diocese, can and do properly confer the sacraments. Unfortunately, we do not know the exact location of these bishops." Question. Since Baden Baden's truthfully wrote, "The Church will last to the end as Jesus Christ constituted it," I ask, why cannot Benzin Baden let these true bishops elect the true pope, if it is God's holy will another pope be elected? These truly Catholic bishops are the ones God is using to carry on the sacramental life of the Church and the apostolicity of the Church. Benzin Baden, even if David Baden claims to be a pope, does not carry on the sacramental life of the Church nor the apostolicity of the Church. I remind you again of what Benzin Baden wrote on page 318. "For this reason only are we allowed to proceed, the reason being that there are no true bishops in the world." Here on pages 356 and 357, they strongly affirm and truthfully proclaim there are Catholic bishops in the world. So Benzin Baden teach they may not proceed with the papal election, although they denied that teaching and went ahead with their papal election after writing this book. Question. Is that another evident contradiction? When do we believe Benzin Baden to be speaking the truth? Do you believe they're speaking the truth when they give two contradictory teachings? If you answer no, please explain why. Throughout their book, we will find many of these contradictions. Example, on page 309, Benzin Baden wrote, "Today the successors of the apostles have fled for fear of the Jews, and all that remains is the laity. Are we allowed to elect a pope in the absence of clergy?" Question. Are Benzin Baden trying to deceive us? For they just told us elsewhere in this same book there will always be true bishops living. If you answer no, please explain why. I personally am not positive if it is true, but on page 301, Benzin Baden, quote, Ab, Bo, and Hannon, in their method of describing how a papal election took place, quote, "In the early centuries, the Roman pontiff was elected by the local clergy and the people with the approbation or the confirmation of the neighboring bishops," taken from the Sacred Canons, page 283. So the clergy and the people of Rome elected the pope in the early days of the Church. And Nicholas II, in changing the law, made provisions for a return to this method. This confirms the fact that it is only a church law that cardinals must elect the pope, for at one time there were no cardinals, only the bishops. But here is a point that Benzin Baden do not stress, which they should. Although the lay people may have participated in the papal election to the degree that they acclaimed who they would like to be the pope, it was always up to the true bishops to give their approbation. Only the true bishops elected the pope, although he may have been the man the lay people suggested to be elected. On page 303, Benzin Baden wrote, "The people and clergy of Rome elected the pope for 100 years of the Church's existence. Could the people and what few faithful clerics who remain post at such an election once again? if God has seen fit to leave only laymen and a handful of clergy left who are faithful to him, if he has promised that the church cannot fail, we know that he has so promised, then we cannot question his wisdom in choosing us as instruments to carry out his will. But I want you please to take note of what they wrote in that last sentence. We cannot question his wisdom in choosing us as instruments to carry out his will. Us would here include the clergy, not simply lay people only. Since the church cannot fail, and Benz and Barton proclaim we know it cannot fail, I state there must always be Catholic bishops living who have authority, office, and jurisdiction, and he must give his approbation to the new election, as Benz and Barton pointed out for us on page 301. Question. Were there any clerics present, or any clerics who gave approbation, who took part in any way in the papal election of David Barton? If you cannot answer that question with an affirmative yes, then why do you follow David Barton as a pope? Because he himself, with Teresa Benz, teaches he's not validly elected. On page 312, Benz and Barton again state the truth, which contradicts what they state elsewhere when they wrote, Canon 107 is of faith. Catholics must believe that the church is comprised of the clergy and the laity. Question. Do you believe this is the key to their problem of having only lay people elect the pope? There must be clerics until the end of time, and clerics who are not apostate, heretic, schismatic, or excommunicated. Therefore, only bishops, not priests, are the teaching church. Let the true bishops in the world elect the pope. If it's God's will, another pope be elected. Again, I ask, did you know that Mother Louise Margaret Claret, in her book, The Sacred Heart and the Priesthood, page 189, wrote, quote, the church is the mystical body of Christ. The faithful are its members. The priesthood is its heart. Yes, the priesthood is the heart of this living body of which Christ is the head. And its heart, its holy priesthood, grafted on Jesus, the eternal priesthood, cannot perish. Unquote from the book. There will always be the church teaching and the church taught. Only bishops with an office, authority, and jurisdiction make up the church teaching. Question. Do you agree that if God wants another pope elected, it is the right, duty, and privilege of these bishops to elect him and not lay people? If you answer no, please explain why. On page 313, Benz and Barton wrote, now we know from our analysis of Canon 2261, number 3, that the church has given jurisdiction to laymen in the past, and this even extends to a lay pope invalidly elected. I, Patrick Henry, comment, but I don't know that. It says we know from our analysis, but in all of my studies I find laymen have no ecclesiastical jurisdiction in the church. Many reference sources can be given to prove the fact that lay people have no real jurisdiction in the church, but you might look in the Catholic Encyclopedia, Volume 8, June 1, 1910, page 751. Quote, the principle is that the laity as such have no share in the spiritual jurisdiction and government of the church, but they may be commissioned or delegated by ecclesiastical authority to exercise certain rights, especially when there is no question of strictly spiritual jurisdiction, for instance, in the administration of property. The laity are incapable if not by divine law, at least by canon law, of real jurisdiction in the church, unquote from the Catholic Encyclopedia. Again, I have the question. Benz and Baden teach on page 313, the church has given jurisdiction to laymen, and they came to that by their analysis of canon 2261, number 3. Did Benz and Baden here teach the truth? Remember on page 13 they said the sources we should use are Holy Scripture, the Fathers, the Doctors, and the Councils, Canons, and Constitutions of the Church to prove our facts. And on page 14, thus it can be seen that those who cannot back up their proofs, who present spurious proofs, or proofs of a less authoritative nature, must not be given any credence. Question: are Benz and Baden to be believed when they state that lay people have ecclesiastical jurisdiction? Did you study well what they also wrote here on page 313 that we have already somewhat mentioned? Quoting again from their book, now we know from our analysis of canon 2261 number 3 that the church has given jurisdiction to laymen in the past, and this even extends to a lay pope invalidly elected. Question: is Patrick Henry correct in thinking that the analysis of Benz and Baden is heresy? If the lay pope is invalidly elected, he is not a pope. Just as when a sacrament is invalid, there is no sacrament. If it is invalid, it does not take place. Question: how then does a lay pope invalidly elected have jurisdiction? If we follow the teaching, I guess we'll call it the teaching of Benz and Baden, that a lay pope invalidly elected has jurisdiction, then I will ask again, if an invalidly elected pope was in truth a valid pope, then the church has had 3 valid popes at one time. How can such a contradiction take place in the true Catholic Church? If a layman or cleric is invalidly elected, what makes his election valid? When all the faithful accept him? Benz and Baden write on page 315, if the whole church once acknowledges anyone as its lawful head, though the election may have been for some cause invalid, he thereby receives the sanction of the church, which is equivalent to a second invalid election, whereupon he succeeds to all that power invested in the head of the church. Every defect in the election is removed by the ratification of the church. Question: what is meant in this quote by the whole church? If the whole church once acknowledges anyone as its lawful head, has the whole church acknowledged Dave and Baden as a true pope? Would that whole church include the true bishops that Benz and Baden have taught us truthfully do exist on earth? Who could determine what day and hour that such took place when the whole church accepted a lay person invalidly elected as a pope? If he is invalidly elected, does he still receive universal jurisdiction before he becomes valid? By the general acceptance of him by the faithful, how can any invalid pope have any real jurisdiction? Without real jurisdiction, he cannot absolve the bishop who is going to consecrate him. If the bishop is not absolved in the external forum, he remains in heresy and a non-Catholic, and therefore the new pope takes part in public liturgy with another who is not a member of the true church. Canon Mahoney states, one is presumed to be a member of the church to which he belongs. And the new pope, before his consecration as Bishop of Rome, falls under all that was written in Ex Cum Apostolatis and Exequabilis. Would the new pope before he was actually consecrated a bishop, be excommunicated for participating in non-Catholic services with a non-Catholic bishop. Bedens and Baden, it seems to me, admit to the doubt about the election of a pope by lay people alone. Why did they even bring up the subject, for example, on page 313? When there is a doubt that holy orders are valid, we must assume the orders are invalid unless proven otherwise. And when there is a doubt about the validity of an election by lay people of a pope, is it not best to assume it is invalid until and unless 100% proof is given in favor of the validity? Bedens and Baden wrote on page 447, we expect that the pope will need to absolve a bishop from censure of suspension prior to the papal consecration. So Bedens and Baden, when they wrote this book, were anticipating and expecting that a layman would be elected, although in their own book they said bishops exist. Question: which Catholic bishop will David Baden find to ordain and consecrate him? Will he try to seek out an invalid, or at least illicit and doubtfully valid consecrated bishop from the Novus Ordo religion, or the Tuchline bishops, or the Lefebvreline bishops? If he would make the horrible mistake of receiving ordination or consecration from one of these bishops, many people in this world will forever doubt his valid ordination or consecration, as they now doubt and deny that he is even elected as a pope. On page 445, Bedens and Baden wrote, each elector and conclavist must, by canon law, make the profession of faith in the presence of a cleric. Canon law is specific on this matter. Refusal means immediate disqualification. Question: did Bedens and Baden write the truth when they made these statements? If you answer no, please explain why. Question: if Bedens and Baden did not write the truth, why do you believe what they wrote elsewhere? Question: did you know it is a true fact that no one who took part in the David Baden election made a profession of faith in the presence of a cleric? Now listen to the result. Canon law is specific on this matter. Refusal means immediate disqualification. And Bedens and Baden went on to write, this profession must be made publicly and witnessed in the proper canonical form. And I'm going to remind you that this proper canonical form is before a priest or a bishop with proper jurisdiction and faculties that can bring you back into the church. No such person was present at the time of David Baden's election. It's very obvious this never took place. David Baden and Teresa Bedens here teach us very truthfully that therefore everyone was disqualified who attempted to elect David Baden as a pope. David Baden and Teresa Bedens wrote in this same paragraph, the profession of faith, by the analogy we are using, must be made in the presence of a cleric, the presence only of laymen, rendering it invalid. Take good note, no clerics were present, and the clerics, if they had been any present, would have to have orders, jurisdiction, and a true Catholic himself. Here in black and white, Bedens and Baden teach us that their election is invalid because all those who attempted to elect never made the abjuration, never were brought back into the true church, never made the profession of faith, and they tell us very plainly it is invalid. question. Do you also accept the fact that this election of David Barden by lay people who are not Catholics is invalid, as David Barden and Teresa Benz teach us here on page 445? If you answer no, please explain why. On this same page, Benz and Barden wrote, therefore, to be absolved from censures and sins, we must have a bishop or priest with the requisite jurisdiction. Any priest who possesses jurisdiction for confession somewhere in the world can absolve us from our sins, according to Canon 883, provided he travels by boat or plane to the place of election. It is our hope that God will provide us with someone to absolve us in the external forum from our censures. If this is not provided, then we can proceed as if we are not censured for the actual election itself, provided we have removed the cause of the censure and observed it in all other respects. In parentheses they wrote, the Pope can absolve us after his election, and we strongly recommend that this be his first act. I comment, how can the Pope absolve them if he does not have holy orders? Did you pay attention to what they wrote? It is our hope that God will provide us with someone to absolve us in the external form from our censures. If this is not provided, then we can proceed as if we are not censured for the actual election itself, provided we have removed the cause for the censure and observe it in all other respects. Question. What doctor of the Church, or any true Catholic for that matter, teaches this? Remember what Benz and Baden wrote on pages 13 and 14? If we wish to truly teach the faith, we must first learn the faith. This can only be done by consulting the sources of our faith, which are Holy Scripture, the Fathers, the Doctors, and the Councils, Canons, and Constitutions of the Church. When a scholastic sets down a thesis, he is expected to offer evidence to show that it should be accepted as a correct explanation of our Lord's message. Thus it can be seen that those who cannot back up their proofs, or who present spurious proofs, or proofs of a less authoritative nature, must not be given any credence. Question. Will Benz and Baden bring forth real proof from the sources they said they should check out and prove from to back up this teaching they gave here? Going on, I would remind you that on this same page 445, Benz and Baden wrote, no one may participate in any way in the election who has not made this profession of faith, as well as complied with all the other requirements set forth by canon law. And here they quoted Canon 1406 and 1408 to prove their statement. The profession of faith we are using must be made in the presence of a cleric, the presence only of laymen rendering it invalid. Question. Is this not a very perfect proof that the election of David Barden is invalid? From their own writings, on their own testimony, written in black and white in their book, they teach us that they did not do what was necessary to have valid electors, and therefore the election of David Barden is invalid. On the next page, 446, Benz and Barden wrote, the man we elect as Pope must be a saint. Does that mean the man has to already be canonized? On page 455, Benz and Baden seem to write the exact opposite. We care not if we reign as saints upon this weary earth, or, God willing, reign forever with him in heaven. What are they saying? They don't care if they have any saints, that they live with saints, and yet the Pope they elect has to be a saint? Are they all going to apostatize from the Pope they elect immediately? And here on page 455, Benz and Baden surely wrote something they don't really mean. we care not if we reign forever with God in heaven? What do they mean by that kind of a statement? On page 446, Benson Barden wrote, "Any priest who has not fulfilled the obligation of Canon 129 to continue his studies is certainly unqualified for the election." Question: why is he unqualified? Has he ceased to be a Catholic male? Question: is this another new teaching of Benson Barden? Where will you find this? In the Holy Scriptures, the Fathers, Doctors of the Church? Let Benson Barden bring forth their proof to back up this statement. Please listen to something taken from the book The Pillar and Ground of the Truth by Father Cox, quoting on page 173. "Those who invent doctrines unheard of before are not successors of the apostles. Novelty and error are children of the same Father, the Father of lies. Those who have lost the line of valid ministers leading back to apostolic times cannot plead to possession of apostolicity. Where there is no ordination, no priesthood, no authority, no power, apostolicity is out of the question. Even if valid orders exist, where jurisdiction is lacking, there is no real apostolicity. Schism as well as heresy destroys apostolic succession." Question: do you agree it is a new doctrine unheard of before in the Catholic Church that non-Catholic lay people can elect a true vicar of Jesus Christ? If you answer no, please explain why. If you answer yes, then remember what is taught here on page 173 of The Pillar and Ground of the Truth. Those who invent doctrines unheard of before are not the successors of the apostles. If David Barden and Teresa Benz invented a new doctrine unheard of before, then David Barden is not a successor of the apostles, and therefore cannot possibly be a true vicar of Jesus Christ. On page 447, Benson Barden wrote, "The laity formed the core of the church in the time of Christ, and we believe that members of the laity will lead the church out of the current crisis." Unquote. I comment that the laity will not lead the church out of the current crisis without the true bishops. Without true bishops that have office, authority, and jurisdiction, there is no real apostolicity, there is no Catholic Church. Now, what is meant here by the core of the church? When Benson Barden wrote, "The laity formed the core of the church in the time of Christ," did that exclude the 12 apostles? The 12 apostles were not laity at the birthday of the church on Pentecost Sunday. This is a new teaching that I have never heard of before. Are Benson Barden inventing another new doctrine to prove that they are not successors of the apostles? Let them bring forth the proof from Holy Scripture, the doctors and fathers of the church, that the laity make up the core of the church. On page 447, Benson Barden wrote, "The already qualified electors shall examine any accusations of heresy brought by Catholic in person or in writing before admitting the person in question as an elector." Question: who are these already qualified electors who were present for the Benz and Barden election of David Barden as the Pope? Remember, Benz and Barden told us on the previous page, page 445, "Each elector and conclavist must, by canon law, make the profession of faith in the presence of a cleric. Canon law is specific on this matter. Refusal means immediate disqualification. The profession of faith, by the analogy we are using, must be made in the presence of a cleric, the presence only of laymen rendering it invalid." I repeat, no clerics were present when David Barden was elected or attempted to be elected as a pope. Who were the qualified electors? How did the first three become qualified? Benz and Baden continue on page 447. The qualified electors shall choose three of their members by lot. Anyone personally connected or having recommended the elector in question being disqualified. These three shall conduct the investigation. If they cannot establish the Catholicity of the elector without delaying the elector shall be disqualified, his case being reserved to the Pope's judgment. The good of the Church demands a strict view of this matter, as the admission of a heretic could call the election into question. All Catholics are bound under pain of mortal sin to denounce any heretic who attempts to gain entrance to the actual election as an elector or conclavist, and furthermore shall be held suspect of heresy under Canon 2200. Question. Do you agree that all those who attempted to elect David Baden fell into this, which they just described? If you answer no, please explain why. This new teaching of Benz and Baden proposes many questions. How do they establish the Catholicity of each elector without delaying the election? If they did not do that, the elector shall be disqualified. That's the statement of Benz and Baden. Is it true? On the very back of this book, on the back cover, it reads, the result of 10 years of in-depth research, its authors have augmented their study by living amongst the various groups who claim to be the solution. Benz and Baden admit here to being a part of all the false sects. How could they get back into the true church without the true Catholic bishops and priests? Nobody absolved them in the external forum. Nobody heard their confessions. No one brought them back into the true church, got them on the ark before the election. No one established their Catholicity. They joined a lot of non-Catholic sects, as they themselves admit. They were part of non-Catholic religions. Do you agree that Canon Mahoney truthfully teaches that you become a member of the church to which you belong? If David Baden and his electors were members of non-Catholic sects, who brought them back into the true church before the election with no clerics, no bishops, nobody with authority and jurisdiction to absolve them? Benz and Baden present other things that seem very contrary in their book. For example, page 139, they were speaking about the three bishops, Marcel Lefebvre and Archbishop Martin Duc and Bishop Kastrmeier, under part of Peter Martin Duc. They wrote, without contrary evidence, we must assume that he, like Lefebvre and all bishops at Vatican II, has incurred ipso facto excommunication for heresy, as we have proven above. So here they wrote very plainly in black and white that Duc has incurred ipso facto excommunication for heresy. On page 427 they wrote, there is no doubt that Duc consecrated validly, freely heretic and validly conferred episcopate, although we have no reason to believe Duc was guilty of heresy. Question. When did David Baden and Teresa Benz speak the truth? When they stated Duc is guilty of heresy, or when they say we have no reason to believe Duc was guilty of heresy? Another contrary problem they presented begins maybe on page 459. What about the physical persecutions predicted? Here they're speaking of the time when the Antichrist reigns. And they quote Luke chapter 21, verse 18, but a hair of your head shall not perish. Why does Christ say this? Christ is trying to remind us that the persecution of his church in this time will be spiritual. We will not be subjected to physical persecutions, for the most part, as were the early Christians. On page 466, they give the exact opposite belief. We have endured 31 years of spiritual persecution, but there will also be a brief period of physical persecution. The fathers and doctors of the church and sacred scripture agree with what they taught here at the last. There will be physical persecutions. Question, which do you believe? Did Benz and Baden write the truth when they said we will not be subjected to physical persecutions? Or did they write the truth when they said there will also be a brief period of physical persecution? This recording will continue on Side B after we hear the music for the song, Faith of Our Fathers.